good evening. Welcome back, everyone. A little unusual month, but it's the fourth meeting this month, but thank you for joining us on this eve of February 26, 2013. At this time, I'd like to call the Monroe City Council meeting to order and ask if you to take roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Cutterback.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
And student representative
here.
Toronto.
All right, thank you. Please join me now for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, leading off tonight's agenda is our portion of the meeting that invites members of the audience or members of the community to comment to City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We'd ask any of those who would like to speak this evening to limit your time to 5 minutes, and we'd also appreciate your name and address for the record. I do not have anyone signed up to address council, but as always, we'll open up to members of the audience if there's anyone who'd like to comment this evening. I see no movement, so it looks like we will move on then to our first business and action item, and that is the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All right, the motion's been made by Councilmember Cutterback and seconded by Councilmember Camp to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, Brad, then you dialed the number. We're moving right along here. I'm going to have Brad dial Kristen Eich, who is attorney with Ogden Murphy Wallace. Did not be here in person this evening, but we are going to invite her to join us on the phone. And then we will be going into executive session.
This is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. It's Gene Braz with the City of Monroe.
Hi.
Kristen, this is Mayor Zimmerman here. We are in session with the City Council, and we wanted to dial you up and get you on the phone prior to going into the executive session. So welcome. Thank you for joining us. So at this time then, we do have the need for an executive session to cover two items. And at this time, I'll have City Administrator Brazel provide the RCWs for both.
The first executive session will be to discuss potential litigation, RCW 4230, 110, 1I. And the second executive session will be to discuss pricing of property, RCW 4230, 110, 1C. And the council may take action following executive session.
Okay. Time that we expect the executive session to last?
30 minutes to start.
Okay, we will look at 30 minutes to this point. So at this time, I'm going to ask the members of the audience to vacate the chambers. We will now go into executive session. Okay, thank you. We had a little bit of delay there because we finished our executive session a little early. Councilmember Hearing?
Motion to extend the business portion of the meeting past 8 o'clock.
Second.
All right, motions have been made by Councilmember Hearing, seconded by Councilmember Cutterback to move the business portion of the meeting beyond 8 p.m. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you for that. Okay, first item this evening on final action is consideration of hearing examiner's recommendation for Eaglemont preliminary plat. And to introduce this evening, we have Brett Filer.
Thank you. This is regarding the preliminary plat and planned residential development of Eaglemont, which is city file number PL 2012-03. This was an application by RAD Development to subdivide approximately 35 acres into 146 lots. This property is located at the address of 13611 197th Avenue. It's up Chain Lake Road, adjacent to the plat of Sinclair Heights. So it's just west of Chain Lake Road. It went through the CEPA process. Staff recommended approval. It went to a hearing examiner public hearing on January 24th, which considered the preliminary plat and the planned residential development, and also appeal of the CEPA threshold determination made by the city's responsible official. The hearing examiner found in favor of the city regarding the CEPA appeal, so that the CEPA stands. That was a final decision by the hearing examiner and is not coming forward to the city council. What's coming forward to the city council are the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommendation from the hearing examiner regarding the preliminary plat and the planned residential development. Because this plat is a planned residential development, it is necessary to approve both of them. You cannot approve the plat without approving the planned residential development, because the layout of the plat is based on the planned residential code requirements. The hearing examiner recommended approval of both the preliminary plat and the planned residential development with several conditions, which are before in his decision and also before you now. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, although remember that this is a closed record review of the record, so you're supposed to look at the record that was presented to you and discuss that amongst yourselves and then come to a decision on what to do next.
However, before we do that, for the audience's understanding, we still have online Attorney Kristen Ike from Ogden Murphy Wallace, and she has some questions for City Council at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Because the consideration of a preliminary plat involves a public hearing and implicates the land use rights of a specific landowner, the proceeding is quasi-judicial in nature and is subject to the appearance of fairness doctrine. The appearance of fairness doctrine requires that such proceedings be fair, not only in fact, but also in appearance. The legal standard under this doctrine is whether a disinterested person being appraised of all relevant facts would be reasonably justified in thinking a particular decision maker's interest or involvement in the case may affect his or her judgment. So in accordance with the appearance of fairness doctrine, I will ask the council as a whole some questions for the record, and the council may answer audibly for the record. First, does any council member have a financial interest in the project or underlying property?
No.
Does any council member have a family member who is a party of record?
No.
Does any council member have a personal or familiar employment or other business relationship with a party of record?
No.
Does any council member own property within 500 feet of the project site?
No.
Is any council member aware of any other personal interest or involvement with the project, the parties of record, or the property that should fairly be disclosed?
No.
Is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against any party or for or against the project?
No.
Has any council member prejudged any of the issues?
No.
Has any council member not had an opportunity to review the record materials for the project?
No.
Is any council member aware of any reason why he or she would not be able to perform his or her duties in an objective, impartial, and fair manner?
No.
Okay, the floor is now open for parties of record to formally challenge any council member's participation pursuant to RCW 4236.080, the appearance of fairness challenges are waived unless they are raised promptly when the reason for the alleged disqualification becomes known. And now it's our opportunity.
Are there any parties of record who would like to challenge or make a challenge this evening? We have none.
Okay. Finally, I do want to ask the council about ex parte communications. Does any council member have any ex parte communications regarding this project to disclose? And if so, the substance of the communication will be formally disclosed, placed on the record, and then an opportunity to rebut the substance of the communication will be provided to the parties of record. So does any council member have an ex-party communication to disclose?
No.
Okay, finally, I just have a couple comments on the procedure and standards for the decision this evening. Under the city's procedural regulations, the city council's review of the hearing examiner's recommendation for preliminary plat and PRD approval is a closed record proceeding. The council should accordingly base its decision exclusively upon information contained in the administrative record created before the hearing examiner and should not consider other evidence. And per Monroe Municipal Code 2150.050B and Section 1712.030L, the council may adopt, reject, or amend the hearing examiner's recommendation, or remand it for additional clarification, but with no new evidence considered. The council may likewise adopt all or part of the hearing examiner's findings, or make separate findings in support of the council's own decision. If the council ultimately rejects the examiner's recommendation, the council must adopt new findings explaining the basis for the decision. And finally, the council should base its decision regarding the Elon Plat and PRD upon the factors and criteria that are codified at Title 17 for subdivisions and Chapter 1884 of the Monroe Municipal Code for PRD. So I will turn it back to the mayor.
Thank you very much. Okay, with that in mind and understanding the directions as given by Attorney Chris and I, we will now allow for council member deliberation or discussion. And I do have one line, Council Member Gamble.
Just had a couple questions, and Brian, maybe you can help me with these. And it's in regards to the some of the testimonies and stuff that was on in regard to the second access road. So I see in the response from Andrew Reeves that the intent, it looks like, is that a second access road will be on the north side there to Chain Lake just above Brown Road, correct? And we talked about this previously. But when I look in the findings by the hearing examiner, I guess what I'm looking at is, let's say, condition one, she'll dedicate right away for streets and show that whole paragraph and making sure what I'm looking for is will that second access be put in before building or is it after building? What's the assurance that that's going to happen? I'm not seeing that anywhere other than in the...
I'm scanning quickly. I know it's in there somewhere.
Okay. I'm hoping that it's...
Yeah.
Page 13.
It's got a phase 3. Okay. Yeah, it's near the phase 3 area. I noticed that. Yeah.
Where's that?
I'm just where it was on the map that road goes past the...
Yeah, I know where the road... I know where the road goes.
Yeah.
My concern is, I mean, this area is already on our...
Is that
condition? Our street condition or our top 10 or whatever it is.
Condition number 2?
Right.
That says the improvements of 197th Avenue North to Chain Lake Road will meet the requirements of the International Fire Code as amended by the Monroe Municipal Code.
So this is before it's approved, before the plats will be approved? Is that what that means?
That is before. No, it's not necessarily for that. That is at the final, but it is allowable per the International Fire Code to have the first phase completed without going all the way to Chain Lake Road.
So they could do the entire first phase and then not build that second access road. conditions change.
Correct.
Which is kind of the, what happened with us originally in that, because we were supposed to already have a second access road. But that's what I need a clarification on. I thought I was reading that correctly. I just wanted to make sure you pointed that out. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutter?
Thank you. Brad, I had questions about the improvements to 197. What are those improvements? It's listed a couple times that there will be improvements to 197 Ave Southeast North to Chain Lake Road, and that it'll meet the requirements. What, can you be more specific about what those improvements are?
The road that's within the plat itself will be built to city standards, which is going to be 52 feet of right-of-way.
Okay.
I don't have the number off. Basically, it's going to be two driving lanes, one parking lane, curb gutters, planting strip, sidewalks. When it reaches the north end of the plat, it will go just to the minimum requirements of the fire apparatus road per the International Fire Code, which is 20 feet of all-weather surface paved. And then it has slope requirements and things like that. So it will be paved all the way to Chain Lake Road. And they're also working with, since that part of the road is actually in unincorporated Snohomish County, they have to have the plans for that section approved by
the county,
so they make sure that the turning radius is sufficient and things like that.
Now, do they make those improvements within the development, or is that part of the traffic mitigation phase?
No, they're paying for that. That's the requirement for them before before the approval of the final phase.
Okay. In the traffic mitigation fees that they're paying of 29 and change, can you specify what those?
Those are the interlocal agreement we have with the Washington State Department of Transportation.
Right.
That those are those fees, and those are basically are the agreement with Washington State Department of Transportation. We keep those fees to use for improvement projects on Highway 2.
Okay, so it's for Highway 2. It's not within that area based on that development.
They're also paying city GMA impact fees, which is another condition further down somewhere. I think it's number 4. The list of projects that's on our transportation improvement plan.
Right.
We've come up with a number so they put into that pot, and that money can be used on any of the projects that's on that list.
Okay. Does that money have to be used within a certain radius of that project?
No. We have. You can set up transportation zones when you do your comprehensive plan. The city is one transportation zone.
Okay, so it's just one zone. We can use it for any of those
projects within that's on the list within the city.
Okay, thank you, Brad.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. Brad, question. This is more of the PRD question. I didn't see this in the hearing examiner's results. Other than the area is currently zoned is R2 to 5, is that correct?
That's the comp plan designation.
Comp plan designation.
Yeah. It's currently zoned R4.
R4, which roughly, I mean, you could say is 4 units per acre.
That, and that's what it is. You take the gross acreage, divide by 4, that's how many lots you can get. And then there's bonuses you get when doing the PRD.
And when I was looking at this, and there's looks like there's a whole lot of bonuses. There's a lot of houses up here. I was just trying to. Did the hearing examiner? So this meets.
Yes, because
this does meet our. I think of 4 units per acre. I looked at this and I thought, and I understand we have density issues, and I saw that how that definitely would address this. That just seems like a lot of lots.
Right.
Lots in R4 actually match up.
Yeah, 4 units per acre is 140 lots, so they're actually only getting 6 extra ones.
Okay. 4 units per acre. Okay, but then the bonuses are if you like. What were some of the bonuses? Extra
open space, and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Gives you, you can do smaller lots.
Smaller lots and
get more houses.
Correct.
Okay, correct. Okay. And I know that's in our MMC. I didn't see that kind of, and maybe I was wrong to expect that to be addressed in here. So.
Okay,
great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have no further lights.
Councilmember Davis. Good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I make a motion to remand to the hearing examiner for clarification of findings regarding the preliminary plat, planned residential development of Eaglemont, PL 2012-03, pertaining to the decisional criteria in Monroe Municipal Code, Section 17.12.030 and 18.84.120, with the revised findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommendation to be submitted no later than 5 p.m. Tuesday, March 5th, 2013.
Second.
All right, the motion as read by Councilmember Davis has been seconded by Councilmember Camp. And is there any further discussion or questions? Okay, we will take a vote then on that motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passes. Okay, Kristen, the motion has been made, and we are, the motion has been passed. The motion was to remand this issue back to the hearing examiner with findings to be returned no later than 5 p.m. on March 5th. Anything further from you at this time?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Well, we appreciate you staying online with us for both for the items, and appreciate your input. We will now sign off with you this evening. Thank you for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I think we're all right. Thank you, Council. We'll have that information back to you. We do have an item here under new business, and that is discussion of downtown parking. And I'll start with Brad Feilberg. I have a couple comments as well, but Brad?
Thank you.
Downtown parking has been a perennial issue in the city of Monroe. I've been looking for other, in the past I've looked for other old minutes, and you run across things from 1975 when they were talking about parking downtown. This time I only went back to 1899 because those are the ones that are available electronically, and there's a whole bunch of times we've talked about parking downtown. The current configuration, at least most of it, seems to have appeared in 2001 when the council decided to do most of the two-hour parking the way it is set downtown right now, with the smattering of ADA accessible spots and a couple 15-minute parking spots. The Eagles Club did come by in 2008 when they moved into their new building on Blakely Street and request that section be changed from two-hour parking from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday to Monday through Friday 8 to 5 to enhance their operations. We do occasionally get requests from people, and most recently you just did it last year. The new insurance agent on the corner of Blakely and Hill came and requested two-hour parking on the rest of Blakely Street and on Hill Street. We quite often get comments from business owners as they come and go, of like someone moves in and they want this way, and we've always been encouraging them to get together as a group of downtown business owners and prepare a plan for the city of Monroe and bring it to the council to have that approved, so it's not every time somebody moves into a business we're before the city council to change what the parking looks like downtown. That hasn't happened. We get the feeling from the community that they think it's a city responsibility to make a decision to do that, so I did that. I made a proposal for you that you could look at and see if you want. It's basically based on a recommendation that came from the Chamber and Dream in 2009 that called for the 100 block of Main Street to be two-hour parking, the 200 blocks of Main Street to be four-hour parking, and then basically the north-south streets coming into Main Street to be four-hour parking. Modified that a little bit. And also, the suggestion from the destination development study that we had done a few years ago actually thought that four-hour parking would be better. If you're trying to build your city as a destination, make it so people can come to your destination and stay and not chase them off after 2 hours, because that's as long as they can park. And I think that's all I have to say. You have the maps. It was in the packet, and if you want, we can project them so we can discuss where things should be. And you also have a paper copy in front of you of the existing parking spaces and the proposal that's on the table right now.
So for a long time now, I have had a number of conversations with Chamber of Commerce, members from Dream, business owners, all related to parking downtown. And as Brad has said, we have the question that's been posed back to businesses, what would you like? Brad, I don't know if you said this, there was a time when there were no parking restrictions downtown. The parking restrictions that you see today were at the request of businesses downtown. But they don't seem to be working for everyone. And so having had numerous conversations, but not getting any real suggestions or solutions offered to the city, I felt that it was time that the city lead in this process. And so asked Brad to take a look at what the past recommendations have been. And I think that you see in the second page here is as Brad said, it was really based on the Dream Chamber recommendations in 2009. However, the destination study recommends that there's 4-hour parking throughout the downtown corridor, which would include the 100 blocks. So we wanted to start with what the most recent Dream and Chamber recommendation was. However, it's my feeling based on a number of conversations that I've had that the council may want to consider the destination study's recommendation, that is 4-hour parking downtown in all blocks. But something for you to consider. Tonight, rather, we're not asking for a motion in per se, other than either to move forward with some recommendations and bring back a more finalized proposal, or we can use tonight just to have some discussion. But again, I thought it was important that the council or the city and the city lead in this in the discussion and try to help provide a solution for downtown. Councilmember Gearing?
Thank you. Many discussions. I appreciate the you just put numerous times under discussion on the tab. Yeah, way too big. Would have taken up the whole sheet probably many times. First question is, so the upper left-hand corner, that would be the corner of North Madison and West Hill, the extreme northwest there, that north side of the road is yellow and it's green now. I know to the east of that, just to the right, is I believe the well-being, the old library is right there on the right-hand side of that. But on the left-hand side, I thought you're starting to get a little bit more residential. I was just curious about that, where it's going from no restriction to four restriction. So this would be the extreme upper left corner, where it is currently green, which is no restriction, and then it would be yellow. You see where
that's
talking up here. So the well-being...
The well-being is the...
well-being's right here, and this is the old library right here, but just to the west of that...
Do you want to move?
Sure.
We have a seat here.
Yeah, okay. I was just trying to think of what was there. So
this is current. Let's go page up to proposed.
Yes. Yeah, so
this is well-being.
That's the well-being center. Just to the west.
This is now Abbey, the Abbey, which is an antique store.
Yeah. Used to be the old church.
Used to be the church. And then the dance studio. It's now turned into an antique store.
I was thinking right across the street from that were residents.
Right. Yes. Yeah,
so that's why there's no restriction there. But since that's a business to the north.
Yeah.
Hence the 4-hour.
Right. Right.
Which is the least restriction.
Yeah. So basically, we just did the parking. That this is in the area that's zoned downtown commercial.
Okay.
And all the stuff over here is still left as, because that's more residential over there.
In these,
unlimited.
Keep going down Hill Street. So to the far east of Hill Street, so you got Hill Street Cleaners.
Right.
Right in there, and there's the auto shop back there.
Auto shop.
Around to the
that's the antique store.
Antique, right.
Gino's Insurance Agent.
And so that makes sense. So the, and the folks that are there now, four hours works. Do we know that 4 hours works for them? We don't
know. That's because I know, just because I know people who work downtown, that's where they park, because that's all they park. So they park there and have, you know, run their businesses.
Which then limits people for parking
in right, yeah,
the so other businesses yeah. in there. So I understand. Okay. So it's, that's going from no, at least in this recommendation, it's
right.
going from no to four.
Yeah.
Okay. The other ones, you know, some of these are pretty straightforward. The fact that there's no restrictions along Lewis and a couple areas, especially north of Fremont, I certainly think it makes sense. And so the recommendation there is to make those yellow. North of
the
Fremont.
To the alley.
I'm sorry, we're going to Ferry.
And then,
looking at the
okay.
Ferry. Yeah. And then Ferry, that's the Cascade Animal Clinic. That's
correct.
There's a few businesses along there.
Right.
And there's no restrictions currently. And okay, and so the two-hour restriction, which is just a little bit of orange section, is now yellow with a blue and a red right there on the top. So the very north end of Ferry, across the street from 7-Eleven.
Right here?
I'm sorry, just south of Main, but right there. Yeah, that one right there. So that's moving. Recommendation is to move that to two. Why 2 hour there versus 4 hour?
No, it's 4 hour.
Four
it's
hour.
Yellow.
I'm looking at the wrong side.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is. It's to go to four.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, I was looking at it backwards. I'm like, why are we going to shorter?
And I forgot to mention, I added a few more 15-minute spots.
Okay.
So you can run into the bakery or something.
Okay, yeah. So what we're looking at for proposed is from the 2009.
Okay. It's sort
essentially
of,
the 2009 yeah. Kind, yeah. Of, kind of the plan.
Kind of modified. They weren't real specific on yeah. that. They just said 100 block be 2 hour, 200 block be 4 hour, and things that aim into Main Street be 4 hour.
And we had a lot of business owners at the time come and weigh in on that.
Yeah, I mean, there's
with regard to this.
There's a contingent of 4 hour people. There's a contingent of 15-minute people.
Indeed, there was
some 2 hours, and so
there was certain
not going to please everybody, but
right.
You know, at least there's some parking for everybody available. You know, one thing I know that some other businesses might mention is that the hair salons that are on Main Street themselves, you know, for people doing perms and things, say they need at least 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours.
And I remember
you
that know, as well.
Do we want some parking spaces in the 100 block of Main itself for those kind of people?
One of the other concerns that I had heard was there was a store owner at the time who the store owner on either side of him would park right in front of his store and,
yeah.
just be there all day and never move his car, which was, you know, there was really no way to address that. And,
right.
There would be, he'd have to move, he or she, I don't know who it is, would have had to move their car within 2 hours now.
Mm-hmm.
Given this, I guess that part's not
that's,
really...
That's not changing.
That's actually not changing. So the fact that somebody was parking there anyway, I'll take that's just rude. So, and we're not talking about increase. Would there be any associated fee increases we might want to talk about with parking as well as a result of this?
I mean, is in ticketing?
Is
fees?
In ticketing fees that that's, would that be a later
that's,
discussion?
That's kind of separate. After yeah, that's okay. After that.
Certainly separate. Yeah. But is that to kind of follow with that, or perhaps?
But, yeah. I mean, that's council's prerogative. I know that we've changed it to have first. Ticket is different rate than second tickets and third tickets, correct?
Well, what we change it to is if they come in within a certain amount of time, the ticket's 50% of what it would have been.
Okay.
It's like $25 versus if they use their full 14 days, then it's $50.
I'm sorry.
They just made that change
what?
That was fairly recent.
Yeah. And I remember that discussion. I didn't, because we were losing money for a while there on all the parking tickets.
We were having a lot of people that just weren't paying and
we sure.
end up sending them collections and nobody wins at that point.
Okay. Okay. I want to make sure, you know. If we're going to make these, you know, is this enforceable? And I'm going to make sure that it is enforceable so that it works for everybody, right? So people, you know, respect the businesses and it does really invite and promote, you know, business. People feel like they can come and they're going to find a spot. Opening up some of these areas, at least requiring a 4 hour, you're going to have a better shot than if there's no restriction at all. So. Great, appreciate it. I'll leave my comment at that for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Brad, it just looks like there's an island of two-hour parking on Fremont and Lewis.
Fremont and Lewis, yes.
Up
oh.
There.
There.
Why?
Why not?
Okay, fair enough. I'm just curious.
I was doing checkerboards. You know, if you got 2 hour, there's a 4 hour, there's a 2 hour again. So.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if there was a specific.
Nothing specific, no. Because right now it's all 2 hour in the night. So it's all 2 hour, and then it was adding some 4 hour in the before the alley.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Extra time to shop for a mattress?
Yes. Well, you have to like take a nap on each one. So.
I understand that Brad is starting the most recent. Yeah. What was that report again?
Destination development.
The destination development report. If I were to weigh any recommendations, personally I would weigh the destination development report because they take into consideration a number of factors involved in bringing business and keeping business in the city of Monroe. And I believe that a number of arguments with regards to 2 hour parking have come from business owners who are tired of their neighbors parking in front of their store and trying to limit that. And but part of that is where do you find that happy medium? I think that's, you know, as a tenant relationship issue. But I think what we're seeing is that that people are not staying downtown as long because the 2 hour. You know, that area right there, the 100 block, is the core of downtown, per se. Well, literally with the businesses that are there, and it also has the most stringent parking restrictions. And so, anyways, with that said, Councilmember Gamble?
Quick question on the ferry in Fremont there, Brad. So, where that's changed to all 4 hour.
Mm-hmm.
On the, would that be the west side? Are those residences there?
There's some. One of the houses has turned into an office building for several things. There's at least it used to be the first house behind Main Street was a painter. So I think there's, you know, a mix of both. There's a couple of residential houses left, but right. There's also commercial.
I was pulling it up on Google Earth.
Yeah, and then also.
Sure. But because the only thing I was concerned is that we have. I'm not seeing parking in there. You basically would be making. What would the hours be on that for the 4 hour? Is it from?
It's on Saturday. It's from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
8 to 5. They park overnight.
Yeah.
No big deal. But they couldn't park their car in front of their house during the day.
Right.
Okay.
Park it, move it.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is that, you know, we want to try to, you know, you could go. You know, ADA 15-minute, 2 hour, 4 hour, ADA 15-minute, 2 hour, 4 hour. But then you have to put a sign in front of each parking space, and we don't want to put that many signs down, both for cost and it's going to clutter up downtown. No, so we want to try to do it in bigger chunks.
No, and I get that. I'm just looking for, you know, because that was all green.
Yeah.
So that would be a significant change for those for the resident. Now the other ones, because I was following you, Councilmember Green, when you were pointing, because that was the only one that I got to on Google Earth where it really looked like there were. Residences that would be affected.
Yeah, because there's all
the other ones were pretty, you know, the main sense of businesses, right?
Indeed.
Now. Yeah. So that's my only question. The south half of the east side of Ferry is all residents.
Yeah, those are houses on the south part.
Yeah, everything south of Cascade Animal Clinic is residential.
All right, Councilmember, can I back it?
Thank you. Brad, thank you for doing this. Mm-hmm. I think it's a nice job, and I agree with the mayor that looking at destination development. Process and using their results because they're looking at the best interests of all businesses as a whole versus somebody's unique business. So I think that's important. Just a couple of questions. That was done in 2009 and it's 2013 now. So besides us who have seen this tonight, who else has seen this proposed?
Anybody who's gotten online to look at the council packet.
Just checking. So it was in the council packet, obviously online. What are your thoughts as getting this kind of out? Because tonight is our first discussion, it looks like. So what's your next step?
I mean, that's up to, like it says, you know, the recommendation is the for council direction to prepare a resolution. Sure. And you can also say, you know, prepare the resolution, we'll have a public hearing on it, we'll, you know. send it to the chamber and dream and let them talk about it at their next meeting or whatever.
I agree with Councilman Gamble and I think Councilman Gearing on that one area where it looks more residential going from free or all night to four. You know, we might want to think about an option of letting that group of, you know, whether it's homeowners or businesses, know that this change might be coming down the pipeline. And so that would be my only suggestion is let's have a kind of a way to get this out and get a little bit of input. And if people don't give input, they don't give input. You know, I do believe the city needs to move forward. My last comment is just next step is bathrooms downtown. We want people to stay shop longer.
Actually,
they need a place to go to the bathroom.
That was a comment in one of the meeting's minutes I was looking at that it said, because the council was talking about the restroom and a citizen said, well, parking's a bit worse problem, so you should fix that first before you do the bathroom.
Well, so. Depends on who you are, I guess. Thank you.
I appreciate your idea there to customer cut back to engage chamber and dream. I think that's it certainly is the relationship that we have with them. I think it would be beneficial to do that. I also appreciate the fact that I think you recognize that the study really is an unbiased view of the city as a whole and downtown as a whole. Not that anyone's biased, but sometimes, you know, we see things, or just as we see things here, we all see things through different lenses. And that's why we wanted to start with the recommendations, but felt it was important to mention the study because that's a third party, you know, with no ties, coming in and taking a look and making recommendations that way. So with that said, we can certainly take what is proposed here based on the chamber, or we could also bring back to council a proposal that will change the downtown 100 block corridors to 4 hours based on the study that was prepared around the same time. And any direction would be appreciated. Councilmember Cadaway.
Thank you. Well, I would go with the proposal including the 4 hour because I do think we've talked about that. It's been mentioned a few times. And I appreciate the city taking the lead and going, okay, well, let's move forward. I would like our next step, though, to be kind of get it out there a little bit before we make a final decision. But I believe that's the direction we have to go in. And let's look at, okay, who are we going to engage? How are we going to get the word out? What period of time? It doesn't have to be a long period of time. We just know that changes are coming and then move forward. So that would be my recommendation.
No objections, and I appreciate that. This is going to be, I'm sure that we're going to have some very good discussion and some good input, and maybe even some very emotional input as well, because this is people's livelihoods and so forth. And it has been such a point of discussion or an issue for so long now that, you know, I just... It was time. Let's move forward in that. So we will do that. Have Brad move forward. We'll make some notifications. We will change the 100 block to four.
Okay, that's what I was.
4 hours. And
so just the 100 block, and leave the other 2 hours the way they are.
And you're going to bring the resolution back that way, and then we can kick it around.
Well, we were going to put that out. With this area being 4 hour also. Do you want to leave that as 4 hour or
green?
Put that back to green?
It's, you know, and I understand what we did there is because we do have some businesses there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is already handled.
Yeah.
It may be that just in front of the businesses we have 4 hours and the rest is residential. But let's You were saying that the east side of the street is mostly residential.
After that gap right there, that's all residential down there. So, you know, it's easy to sign, you know, that 4 hour, that unlimited, and that 4 hour.
Councilor Kedder.
Thank you. I just had a comment on that. So is there a way that you can have 4 hour, but people who have a permit because of their residential can put it in their window and have extended? I mean, is there a way
that is possible? The city isn't set up right now to do that, okay. And I don't know what enforcement issues the police department have with that.
Just throwing it out there as, you know, if there's a large concern because there are numerous residential, but there's just as many businesses, you know, it might be something we look at. So I don't know what the logistics are and the pain to do it, but just throwing it out there.
All right, I think that would be our direction.
I
think we will engage other members of staff to have some conversations with the chamber and Dream. In the meantime, we'll direct Brad to bring back the resolution.
And I'm assuming it's fly new map resolution and distribute that prior to the council looking at it again. Not the council look at it before we take it to the public.
I would take it to the public.
Right, yeah.
We've looked at it. Yeah. We agree.
Based on that recommendation, right. Okay. Take it to get the word out there. So. Okay, thank you.
Push.
I appreciate that. Okay, are we needing to conclude? Councilmember Hearing.
Thank you. If the council would so approve, I'd like to waive the rules. I would like to move to waive the rules and add a additional item to new business this evening with regard to council policy regarding the city's IT services.
Second.
Okay, that's a motion by Councilmember Gearing to waive council rules and add an agenda item regarding IT services. Motion's been seconded by Councilmember Cutterback. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. We had a presentation a couple weeks ago. No secret that there's been some concern with regard to safety, with regard to, we heard about servers, we heard about physical security, we heard about data security. I think as a council policy action, I think it makes sense to, as we have discussed before in open session, the consideration of moving to an external IT services, external IT services support rather than internal IT services support. From a policy direction, I think that goes quite a bit towards the direction that we've been trying to move. And again, given some of the concerns that we've had in the past, given the nature of the report with regard to the goals that we received, I think that would be an appropriate course of action. And to that end, I would move that council. I'm sorry.
Don't we have a motion on the floor?
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do.
We have a motion on the floor to.
To add the item. Sorry.
Add the item.
Oh, I got ahead of myself.
And then, so that's the description of the concern in the item.
Regarding the city's IT services.
IT services. So. With regards to the motion, we will vote on that, and that is explained by Councilmember Gearing. So all those in favor of adding the item as proposed in the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed?
All right. Sorry, I repeat myself. To that end, moving towards an externally managed IT department versus an internally managed IT department. To that end, I would move that we defund the IT manager role and direct staff to use the remaining budgeted funds for IT needs and for hiring a third-party provider of IT services.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Hamford. As read, any further questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right. Motion does pass. 6-1 with Councilmember Cutback in opposition. Any other items for discussion? so we, at this time, we're recessing the...
Mayor, I think there's a light on.
Okay. Councilmember Williams, thank you.
I would also like to add an item to the agenda tonight, so I would like to make a motion to waive council rules and add an agenda item concerning city-owned property.
Second.
Thank you. All right. That's what I was trying to... Councilmember Williams has made the motion to waive the council rules and place an additional agenda item with regards to city property. And the second was made by Councilmember Gehring. Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? All right, Councilmember Williams.
So the city has a piece of property, 5-acre piece of property, and we would like to make a motion to direct staff to obtain an appraisal of that piece of property and authorize the mayor to negotiate with interested purchasers for the sale of that property.
Second.
This motion, okay, motion has been made by Councilmember Williams and seconded by Councilmember Hanford is read. Any other questions or comments? All right. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will then now at this time recess the meeting and reconvene the study session. Our study session topics this evening are department reports. Those are verbal only this evening. Start in the back with Jeff. Anything to report this evening?
No.
Ben, anything?
No.
Diane?
March 9th, the Finance Department will have the City Hall open for National Passport Days to process passports on Saturday, March 9th.
Chief, anything for them? Brad, anything for them?
Just one comment. We did receive the approval from the Washington State Department of Ecology for the substantial shoreline substantial development permit and the shoreline conditional use permit for H3O. So, and they've submitted construction drawings for some of the parks. So that's underway.
Thank you. City Representative Ron. City Administrator Bradley.
I do have one thing. Notice to proceed was given to the Bradley Group today to start on the investigation of the landfill site. So next week, we'll have a representative here going through our boxes and files. So just happened on that.
Good. Very good. All right, nothing to report for myself. So we'll get to the March 5th draft agenda.
Draft agenda for March 5th, 2013. Present agenda. Under new business, we have discussed proposed ethics code amendments. Under final action, we have it's tentative authorized mayor to sign collective bargaining agreements for the clerical, parks and public works, and supervisors groups. And the draft agenda for March 12th, 2013. And then, of course, we added the item this evening in regards to the Eagle Moth line. Any additions or deletions?
Okay, do we have a council committee meeting scheduled for the first?
Yeah. We go to finance.
Finance. Yeah, we had talked about meeting at 5:45 instead of 6 p.m. That's okay. I just wanted to review.
That we're going to remind Councilman Gamble.
No, you typed it right. 5:45. Okay. Okay. All right. Anything by from council to report tonight? Councilman Green.
Thanks. I'd like to. Let everybody know that Monroe lacrosse season is kicking off. The high school team, I believe, began practice last night. Full slate of lacrosse games against area high schools. Also, all the way down to the, I guess, the second grade level this year. Games kick off this weekend. So it's an awesome sport if you have a chance to come watch it and support the local teams, and specifically our high school teams. High school team, we have just a varsity team this year. Very exciting, a lot of fun, and a really good time to watch. So, thank you.
Anyone else?
Well, I mean, if he's going to throw a cross at baseball.
Yeah.
America's pastime.
America's first native sport.
March 1st. You know, pitchers and catchers are reporting in Arizona, but Little League can start practicing March 1st.
Wow.
So, Friday.
Is that your league?
What's that? Oh, yeah. That's my, yeah. Both my kids play. Okay.
All right. If there is nothing else, we'd like to ask staff to meet in the office before we leave this evening. That would be all right. And so at this time, seeing no lights, hearing no comments, the meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.